What's up? This is Movies On Up with our 2013 fall slash winter preview, 2013 extravaganza, 2013. Watch for the signs. That is our tagline for this week. If you know what movie that comes from, and I don't think it's from a movie that we'll be talking about in our 2013 fall winter preview extravaganza.
It's a movie we talked about in our fall winter preview extravaganza from last year.
Oh, well done. So if you didn't listen to that, you can listen to it on moviesonup.com. Interestingly enough, that is one of the ways you can leave your guess for our tagline contest. If you know where Watch this for the Signs comes from, you can leave it somewhere on moviesonup.com, or you can zip it off to us in an email, moviesonup@gmail.com. You can leave your guess directly on our Facebook page, which can be found at facebook.com/moviesonup, or you can send your answer directly at Dave on the Twitter at Movies On Up if you are correct. And if we choose you, you can be the lucky owner of a Movies On Up prize pack, which will be full of all sorts of stuff. But first, you must answer the question, what movie does the tagline Watch for the Signs come from? Dave gave you a big hint that it was from ours, a movie that came out last year in the fall slash winter.
Yep.
So that should narrow it down for you. We will narrow the list down of movies that are coming out for the rest of this fall, starting with the 6th of September. That is this coming Friday, if you listen to this in real time.
Yes, remember the 6th of September.
Of course, you may remember from our episode earlier this week, Pitch Black. We talked... Is it Pitch Black?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is Pitch Black. We talked about...
I tried
about,
to forget it, too.
Yeah, fair enough. The new one comes out this Friday, Riddick, directed by David Twohy, starring Vin Diesel, Carl Urban, Katie Sackhoff, Dave Bautista. Riddick apparently up to his old tricks again, marooned again on a desert planet, again hunted by aliens and some bounty hunters, but whom is hunting whom?
Pass.
Fair enough. I'm interested, but not that interested. That's really the only wide release that week. We've got a couple films in limited release, the first of which is Hell Baby, directed by the team of Robert Ben Grant and Thomas Lennon, starring those two gentlemen along with Rob Corddry and Leslie Bibb. Grant and Lennon play exorcists dispatched by the Vatican to New Orleans to perform an exorcism on the Bibb baby.
I want to see it. It's on demand already.
Nice.
It looks fantastic. So is the next one. They're actually both on demand before release in theaters, but I love Grant and Lennon like so much, so much. I'm very excited about
Dave it. Dave loves them hard. He'd probably like to touch him and feel him if he could. That is, in fact, the name of our next film, Touchy Feely, directed by Lynn Shelton, starring Rosemary DeWitt, Ellen Page, and Josh Paris. DeWitt plays a massage therapist who becomes afraid of touching, not necessarily a problem for Paris, her dentist brother who discovers that he's got the touch.
It looks really good.
Looks a little My Sister's Sister.
It looks very Lynn Shelton-y. Yeah. Ellen Page looks awesome in it. I think it looks really good. I like Lynn Shelton.
That'll wrap it up for the first week of September. Going into 9/13, we start off with a movie that I don't think either of us will have very many nice things to say about. It is The Family, directed by Luc Besson, starring Robert De Niro, Tommy Lee Jones, and Michelle Pfeiffer. De Niro goes rat on the mob, and Tommy Lee Jones is assigned to the witness protection case of De Niro and his family, which would be a much easier job if Robert De Niro and his family weren't filled with psychos.
Speak for yourself. I'll see it.
Really?
Luc Besson. I like Besson.
Fair enough. Movie is produced by Martin Scorsese, which just kind of makes me wonder. I guess if Dave's going to be seeing The Family, I will be across the theater seeing James Wan's newest effort, Insidious Chapter 2, starring Patrick Wilson, Rose Byrne, and Barbara Hershey. Spoiler alert, Patrick Wilson ends Chapter 1 possessed. Wan's follow-up explains the story behind Wilson's childhood ghost problems.
I'll see it eventually.
The ending of the first Insidious is the...
doesn't lead up to a sequel very
no,
well.
Not really. I would actually like a world where this movie doesn't exist, because the ending wasn't tremendous, but I at least liked where it ended. I thought it stopped in a good point. So
It seems like it's more in the after, the other world, whatever it's called, the ether. I don't know. The part I didn't like about it.
Yeah, the ghost world, so to speak. I'm not really sure. I don't think Insidious Chapter 2 will be movie of the year, but on September the 20th, we have Battle of the Year, directed by Benson Lee, starring Josh Holloway from Lost, Laz Alonso, Josh Peck, Chris Brown from beating up Rihanna. It is the World Cup of dance movies, which is to say that by that, no one's going to care.
I love dance movies, but this one I'm going to pass on.
It's so that should tell you something right there.
It was supposed to come out last fall and just got bumped back a year. It just looks terrible. I'll skip it. And I love dance movies, like, so much.
He loves them so hard. A movie that looks pretty much the polar opposite to a dance movie, it actually looks like this is a pretty heavy movie that I think is going to be carried by its acting performances from Hugh Jackman, Terrence Howard, and maybe Jake Gyllenhaal. Threw Paul Dano in there for Denis Villeneuve's Prisoners. Jackman goes vigilante to try and locate his daughter and Howard's daughter, who may or may not have been kidnapped by a very creepy-looking Paul Dano.
This looks really good, but I wish I could go back in time and never watch the trailers.
Right.
So if you haven't watched trailers for Prisoners yet,
don't.
It looks really good, and it looks like Gyllenhaal, Jackman, Howard, Dano, they're all bringing it. So I'm excited for it. Like, it's a weird movie to get excited for because of the content, but it looks really good and really intense.
Yeah, it's a movie that we complained about when we used to do trailers, that it looked really cool, but it gives away a lot, so stay away from any TV spots or anything. The less you know about Prisoners, the happier you will be in limited release that week. COG, directed by Kyle Patrick Alvarez, starring Torian Belisario, Jonathan Goff, Dale Dickey, based on a David Sedaris story about a dude who heads up to Oregon to work on an apple farm. Just going off of Sedaris' work, I'm guessing it's probably going to be full of pithy humor.
Yeah, it's interesting enough. I'll see it eventually. I think if you're a Sedaris fan, it looks like it'll transfer well. But
so what you're saying is you're not going to rush out to the theaters to see that. Will you, in fact, rush out to the theaters to see Ron Howard's latest Rush, which will be out in limited release that week? Seems like a weird movie, as much as they're promoting it, to start limited. Nonetheless, it is. It stars Chris Hemsworth, Danielle Brühl, who'll be in a couple movies this summer, so I think it could be kind of an interesting summer for him and Olivia Wilde.
Well, fall, winter?
Yeah, not this summer. I guess I want to cling to September as being summer, but you know what I'm talking about. It is the real-life story of race car rivals James Hunt and Niki Lauda.
It looks really bad. It looks terrible.
I don't know if it looks terrible. I just know that I don't care about race car movies.
I don't either, but it looks bad. The dialogue looks bad. Hemsworth looks bad. Who I like, it just looks bad.
I don't know. I get the feeling that this movie isn't for us. I think that people will enjoy it, just neither of us people. I don't think it has a shot in hell of getting either of us to like it. Not a single shot. Directed by David M. Rosenthal, starring Sam Rockwell, Willie H. Macy, and Ted Levine. When a young girl gets shot in the woods, a group of nefarious mountain men are out to serve their own type of backwoods justice, apparently on Sam Rockwell, who may or may not have shot the girl. I don't know.
This is the opposite trailer of Prisoners. We talked yeah. about it, where you watch the trailer and you have no idea what the movie's about. But I like Sam Rockwell.
And I like William H. Macy.
Yeah. So, and I like Sam Rockwell's a really good actor, and I'll see it. Like, I'm excited for this
one. I'll see it based on the fact that I don't already know what happens, so I'm cool with that. Our last movie in limited release for that week is, I guess, firing the first shot in the sex addiction theme that'll be taking place this fall and winter. Thank You for Sharing, directed by Stuart Blumberg, stars Mark Ruffalo, Gwyneth Paltrow, Tim Robbins, and Pink. I put that last little bit in there just because I know Dave hates that girl. We follow the merry band of sex addicts that Mark Ruffalo meets in his 12-step program as they try to have healthy, quote-unquote, relationships, deal with their sex addictions.
Yeah, it's got... Did you say Josh Gad? Josh Gad's in it, too.
No, I kind of cut it off after Pink.
Yeah, it looks okay. It looks all right.
Fair enough. Mm-hmm. I think Alicia Moore is going to steal the show. That'll wrap it up for that week. We run to the last week of September, and that is 9/27. The major releases that week: Baggage Claim, directed by David E. Tabert, starring Paula Patton, Taye Diggs, Jill Scott. We talked about this one a while back, too. Patton air stalks single dudes to try and find the man of her dreams. Not made for us either.
My favorite part about this is that Adam Brody shows up. He's the token white dude in this movie. And he also stars in a movie called Some Girls, which is essentially the exact same plot, just
with white people.
With Adam Brody in the Paula Patton role.
The forecast for the rest of that week is cloudy with a chance of meatballs, too. Directed by Cody Cameron and Chris Pern. Starring, amongst other people, Bill Hader, Anna Faris, and Will Forte. Hader's weather machine still works, but this time around it makes food animal hybrids and terrible puns.
I love the first one. This one looks terrible. This one just looks completely pun related to where it just that's all they're going to rely on. And you don't have the directors of the original, which they were doing. They did awesome with it. I just have low for liking the first one so much. I have low hopes for this.
You don't think this one looks very punny?
No.
Kind of coming off the heels of Thank You for Sharing is the directorial debut of Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Don John. Starring, obviously, JGL, Scarlett Johansson, and Julianne Moore. And Tony Danza, yeah, sure. As much as it is about sex addiction, I guess, as Joey Gordon-Levitt's character is addicted to porn, it's kind of about the unrealistic expectations that men get from porn and women get from watching chick flicks. So just to maintain balance, I try and watch an equal amount of both.
I do want to see this.
Homeostasis. I think you're starting to come around on it. You kind of.
I wasn't anti it. The trailer didn't wow me as much as I wanted it to.
Oh, okay.
Maybe but I've been on board from the beginning. The trailer did give me some doubts, but I'll see it.
You can see it in a wide release on the 27th. Limited releases that week. I know you have no interest in seeing Metallica Through the Never, directed by Nimrod Anatol, starring James Hetfield, the rest of Metallica, and Dane DeHaan. DeHaan plays a Metallica roadie to get sent on some kind of errand that appears to put him right in the middle of some sort of riot.
He gets sent on some sort of errand.
That would be a Metallica song.
Yeah.
I'll give it to you. It sounded like it. The final movie in that week, We Are What We Are, directed by Jim Mackey, starring Kelly McGillis, Amber Childers, and Odina Rush. It is a remake of a 2010 Mexican flick about a group of teens that take on a more and unusual responsibility after the death of one of their parents.
This just released a trailer last week. Goodness.
Do they tell you, like, because I've seen the Mexican flick. And
they tell you, you kind of guess some of the stuff that's going on, but my goodness, if you know nothing about the story, it's a great trailer. It's a good horror trailer. Like, it looks.
Does it look as creepy as it should be?
Yes.
I have to check out the trailer.
I mean, it just dropped last week. It's a great trailer. Like, it's a long, I praised Year Next for how good the trailer was.
Yeah.
This isn't that good. But it's a good horror trailer.
Also expanding that week is Rush, so you know maybe you can watch or not watch a race car movie that week. Flipping into October, to a movie that I know Dave wants to see. He's wanted to see it for at least a year. When this, I think this movie made our fall winter preview last year as well.
Yeah, and it was also my most anticipated movie at our halftime show last year and this year.
We are really milking Alfonso Cuarón's Gravity. That'll be out on October the 4th, starring pretty much George Clooney and Sandra Bullock and space. Spacewalk goes horribly bad and strands two very good-looking people miles above the Earth in Cuarón's good-looking thriller.
This is where the Oscar rolls in. Like, this is where your Oscar movies start, because Gravity is going to get some nominations. Guaranteed it.
Cinematography, at least, based on the trailer.
At least, if not director, if not Sandy. And it's going to get some Oscar love, and it kicks off the award season.
And possibly following up on the heels of maybe Sandra Bullock's nomination for Best Leading Actress will be the nomination that no doubt Ben Affleck, the greatest actor in the country, will get for his role in Brad Furman's Runner Runner. Affleck stars opposite Justin Timberlake and Gemma Arterton. JT heads deep into the seedy world of online poker after being cheated in a game by Batman.
This looks like such a giant step back for Affleck. Like, it looks like Reindeer Games type Affleck, but I like JT. I like Gemma Arterton. I'll see it, and I hope he proves me wrong, because I like Affleck.
Both of the limited release movies this week, I really like. And I really want to see. The first of which is ACOD, directed by Stuart Zicherman, starring Adam Scott, Richard Jenkins, Catherine O'Hara, again, amongst other people. Scott revisits the horror of his parents' divorce as his younger brother decides to get married.
A child of divorce.
Adult children of divorce.
Yeah. It looks good.
I like Adam Scott.
I love Adam Scott in a lead, so I'm excited for it. Like, I think it'll be really good.
Yes, please. Our next movie is probably going to be a comedy, I would assume. It's called Bad Milo, directed by Jacob Vaughn. I feel like when we did our South by Southwest episode, this was one that I kind of latched onto as one that I would really like, directed by Jacob Vaughn, starring Ken Marino, Dave's co-star, Gillian Jacobs, Patrick Warburton. Marino has what is described as an ass demon that manifests itself to take care of things that seem to stress his character out.
The trailer's great. This is also on video on demand right now, so if you have access, you can see it. It looks ridiculous, but awesome. But I mean, I'm a big Marino fanboy.
Yes.
Like, I like really love him. Like, anybody from the state, I'm 100% on board with him. Between this and Hell Baby, you have two ridiculous movies that I expect to love both of them.
Lots of demons coming out of people from various orifices, I guess. One on the front, one on the back. Also expanding that week, Metallica Through the Never. I guess it wouldn't surprise me at all if on the 11th of October we saw a Academy Award nomination for Paul Greengrass's Captain Phillips, where Tom Hanks and Catherine Keener take you through the true life story of the 2009 hijacking of the MV Maersk, Alabama by Somali pirates. I think it was the first time a U.S. ship has been hijacked in like 200 years or something. So congratulations, Captain Phillips.
Bold prediction. At least one of your nominees for Best Actor will be in a movie, will come from a movie releasing on 10/11, whether it be Tom Hanks or somebody we'll get to in a second.
I'm glad you did that because it saves me from having to do it. My pick comes from the Robert Rodriguez-directed Machete Kills, starring Danny Trejo, Alexa Vega, Mel Gibson, Lady Gaga, and Carlos Estevez, otherwise known as Charlie Sheen. Machete is hired. Wait, let me do that again. Machete is hired by the U.S. to stop Mel Gibson from launching some sort of space weapon.
I wasn't too into the first Machete, so I'll probably skip this one too.
Oh, that's a mistake. I'm telling you that right now. I loved Machete, and I expect that I will love Machete Kills. Finally, after years and years, all the boys love Mandy Lane. Jonathan Levine's 2006 movie will finally get its U.S. release, starring Amber Heard, Anson Mount, Whitney Able. Heard gets invited to some kind of a really happening kids party on a ranch. What really happens is people begin to die.
It's an okay movie. I saw it years ago.
2006, maybe?
Yeah, it's been done for 7 years. He's had a good career after this movie. It didn't introduce me to Amber Heard, so it holds that spot in my heart. But it's okay if you like the throwback horror, like your traditional feel of like 70s, 80s horror. It's got a lot of that about it, but it's not great.
I'm just glad. I think he deserves to have the movie released.
Finally. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, whether it's not, you know, his best work, but hey, you know, whatever. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Dave wasn't really talking about Danny Trejo being nominated for his role in Machete. I'm going to guess, based on the three actors that Dave likes and talks about all the time, Benedict Cumberbatch will star as Julian Assange in The Fifth Estate, directed by Bill Condon. Also stars Daniel Brühl, that guy from that race car movie, and Carice Van Houten. It's, I mean, the WikiLeaks movie. I don't think I really need to tell you too much about that story.
I'm really excited. Like, I'm really interested in this movie because it's really weird because Assange is such an interesting character. And whether he's a good guy or a bad guy is pretty much subjective.
He's kind of like Riddick.
Yeah, what Riddick was supposed to be. So you can come down one way or the other. So I'm interested to see how that plays out through the movie. But Bill Condon's got Oscar-type chops. Like, he's had love from the Oscars before. Benedict Cumberbatch is about to just explode. I mean, he's one of the best actors working right now, and I honestly, truly believe he will get a nomination for this.
So do you think that Julian Assange will supplant his role in Star Trek as the best movie villain ever?
Depends on if you think he's a villain or not.
Fair enough. Artful way to dodge that question. Also in limited release that week, The Inevitable Defeat of Mr. and Pete, directed by Michael Starbery, starring Anthony Mackie. I don't Adewale Akunye-Abaj, or AAA, as he will be referred to from here on out, and Jennifer Hudson. A bit more of a straightforward story about youths trying to survive after their mothers have been taken away.
This trailer just came out a week or two ago, too, so if you want to know more about it, watch the trailer.
Yeah, fair enough, because I don't think either of us really know too much about it or care too much about it. Something else that I don't care a whole lot about, but again, pretty straightforward. Romeo and Juliet, directed by Carlo Carletti, starring Haley Steinfeld, Douglas Booth, Ed Westwick. Spoiler alert, they both die.
Seen it too many times.
Yep. Moving right along. Another one of those movies that came out of South by Southwest that initially I got pretty pumped about is Zero Charisma, directed by Cady Graham and Andrew Matthews, starring Sam Elinson, Angie Bird, and Brock England. The group dynamics of a tabletop game-playing group get turned upside down when a less nerdy gamer joins the group.
I think it looks really good. And it's apparently, like, really funny. So, sign me up.
Sign me up.
I'll roll the dice on this one. Bam!
That's better. That's a good way to end that one. On October the 18th, you can sign Dave up for Carrie, directed by Kimberly Pierce. And apparently you can sign not only Chloe Grace Moretz, but probably Julianne Moore up for an Oscar nom as well.
I agree.
Not so much for Judy Greer. She's just SOL.
I think at least Chloe Grace Moretz gets an Oscar nom, and I think possibly Julianne Moore.
Pretty much reiterating what I just said that you said.
Yep.
But you're backing me up. I like that.
Backing you up on what I said.
I like it when I make statements about what you say and you say, yep, I said that.
Yep.
We're on the same page.
We are on the same page.
We're a regular a dream team, you might say. You might also say that Sylvester Stallone and Arnold Schwarzenegger and 50 Cent and Jesus. That's quite a dream team. Jesus, of course. Jim Caviezel, all-star in Escape Plan, directed by Mikael Hofstrom. Stallone plays a prison designer who tests his designs the only way he knows how, by breaking out of them. He will need the help of the Terminator to break out of his greatest creation after being double-crossed.
They both had bombs on their own. I'm expecting this to be the same.
Be a double bomb. In limited release, Kill Your Darlings, directed by John Krokaidas, starring Elizabeth Olsen, Michael C. Hall, Daniel Radcliffe, Dane DeHaan, and Ben Foster. It's kind of the Justice League of American poets from the 1940s. Radcliffe plays Ginsberg. Ben Foster is William Burroughs. Jack Houston's Kerouac.
I love the name of this, and I love the cast, but I don't care about the plot.
I don't either. So I'll probably skip it and just listen to everybody else tell me about how great the movie is and how awesome Harry Potter is as an actor. And he probably is really good. But I think I'd rather watch Horns.
Or, I mean, Foster, too. Ben Foster is so underappreciated.
I know there's a bunch of people in that movie that you like, including Dane DeHaan.
And Elizabeth Olsen.
Yeah. As good as that cast is, the next cast is probably a little bit better.
And more for me.
You're going to yell at me because I didn't put everybody on here because you just can't. I put your two man crushes on here, I guess. It is
three.
What's that?
Three. Chiwetel counts, too.
Well, yeah, but I don't put him. Chiwetel Ejiofor is not on the same level as maybe Tom Hardy. That's really all this movie is missing is Tom Hardy, because it does have Michael Kenneth Williams, and not so much, but Benedict Cumberbatch and Michael Fassbender. It's Steve McQueen's 12 Years a Slave. We've been talking about this movie almost since the inception of the podcast. It's finally will be here October the 18th. It will probably be nominated for all of the Oscars. It is based on Solomon Northrup's tale about being sold into slavery for 12 years in the pre-Civil War United States.
It looks really good. The trailer looks intense. This movie... This is another one. This is going to scream Oscars. Like, Brad Pitt shows up. I mean, the cast.
Hush Puppy.
It's going to have one or two acting nominations. Like, I guarantee it.
It has to.
And Steve McQueen will hopefully finally get that Oscar love that he's been denied so far. It looks so good. It just looks intense.
Honestly, I think this will be nominated for almost everything. Spoiler alert, maybe I'm tipping my hand, but I think that's going to be... The Oscar darling. Yeah, definitely. October the 25th, Ridley Scott's new one comes out, so we get back-to-back weeks of Brad Pitt, The Counselor, starring Brad Pitt, Goran Vesnich, and some guy named Mike Fassbender.
Back-to-back Fassbender.
Yeah. A lawyer gets wrapped up in the wrong crowd, a drug dealing crowd.
It looks good. It looks so good. Cormac McCarthy novel. I love a good crime movie, and this is a good crime movie with a great cast and a competent director and Ridley Scott. Like, my hopes are high for this.
Because it stars Michael Fassbender.
And, yeah. And everything stuff. Else. And whatever said. Else I just said.
Yeah, whatever else is kind of secondary. Secondary on that week, Jackass Presents Bad Grandpa, directed by Jeff Tremaine, starring Johnny Knoxville. Hidden camera jokes following Knoxville's character, along with an 8-year-old across the country.
No, thank you.
He plays the bad grandpa.
No, thanks.
Seen it. Flip the calendar to November, a movie that the closer it gets, the further I would like it to be. November 1st, Ender's Game, directed by Gavin Hood, starring Asia Butterfield, Abigail Breslin, Harrison Ford, based off the Orson Scott Card novel that was one of the very few novels I've ever read. So that should tell you how good it is. Earth is under attack by aliens, and Earth's best hope for survival is to train a new group of officers to defend against the inevitable alien return. Those officers all happen to be children.
It just doesn't look interesting to me.
That's the damn sad thing, is like nothing, it's really interesting. It doesn't, but the movie looks terrible.
It doesn't look good at all.
No. Han Solo
as somebody who didn't read the book.
Old, ugly, I don't really grouchy care. Faces. Yeah. No, I don't blame you. I'm going to end up seeing it, and I'm going to be one of, I've never done this before in my life. I've never been that bitter, the book is better guy, but this will be the first time for me.
Join us, Brian. Join us.
I don't think there was a novel based off of Jimmy Hayward's Freebirds, starring Woody Harrelson, Owen Wilson, Dan Fogler. If there was, I would rather read the book than see the movie. Harrelson and Wilson voice time-traveling turkeys, their feather-brained mission to go back in time to the first Thanksgiving and get turkey removed from the menu permanently.
I love the idea of this. I love the concept, but it looks terrible. It looks dumb. It looks awful. It looks like everything that a bad kids movie is, because they just take a formula and they follow it, and those movies are rarely successful. It just looks stupid. It's taken a great concept, and I thought we were over Dan Fogler. I thought we realized Dan Fogler wasn't going to happen. Like, I realize he's just an animated form, but that's too much. We need to just move on from Dan Fogler.
I hope the turkeys don't succeed, because I love eating turkeys on Thanksgiving, so I will be rooting against them. I think it's interesting that you mentioned formula movies, and they're terrible, because I would... Stop me if you've heard this one before. In this comedy, a group of friends heads to Vegas for a bachelor party. Madness ensues. Here's the kicker. They're really, really old. It is directed by John Turteltaub. It is Las Vegas, starring guys that don't need to be doing this. Bob De Niro, Michael Douglas, Morgan Freeman, and Kevin Klein.
It just looks sad. The trailer is just sad.
I'm embarrassed for them. I would be embarrassed to see the paycheck they got for that movie, but Jesus. That's it for the wide releases that week. Limited release, About Time, directed by Richard Curtis, starring Domhnall Gleeson, Rachel McAdams, and Bill Nighy. On his 21st birthday, Gleeson discovers that he can time travel. He uses said ability to land Rachel McAdams. Unfortunately, he must continue to land her. Time traveling can be a tricky thing.
I think it looks great. It has a really good trailer. I have really high hopes for this. Like, I think it's going to be really good. I think it's going to be really funny and have a lot of heart. Like, it's essentially a rom-com that I'm excited for.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking. Hearing the plot doesn't make me interested, but I saw the trailer and I thought, there looks like there could
some
be
some good jokes
here.
Just in the trailer, yeah.
Right. We've been building to the Best Actor Award for Matthew McConaughey. I mean, that seems so weird to say that sentence, but the things he's been doing over probably the last 18 months, he's really been acting his ass off. And it looks like his role in the Dallas Buyers Club, directed by Jean-Marc Vallée, where he plays a Texas electrician that is kind of at odds with the medical industry after his 1986 diagnosis of HIV, also stars Jennifer Garner and a guy that you think looks really good in this movie as well, Jared Leto, sorry. Jennifer Garner's in the movie. Did I mention that?
I was actually going to say, I don't doubt that an acting nomination will come from this movie, but I'm going to go on a limb. I think Jared Leto will get a nomination for this movie.
He could. I mean, this obviously does kind of scream an Oscar-type movie as well.
And if you watch the trailer, Leto is fantastic. Like, I think a lot of people forget that he's actually a really gifted actor, and he commits to what he's doing so much he screwed up his kidneys playing in that John Lennon movie, so gaining all that weight. So the dude's committed to his craft, and I think Oscar nomination for Jared Leto, which is weird.
Maybe he's due. I was kind of reading about our next movie, and people were saying that it's finally time for Naomi Watts to win her Oscar. And she might for Diana, directed by Oliver Hirschbiegel, starring Naomi Watts, Naveen Andrews, and Douglas Hodge. Focuses on the affair between Princess Diana and some Pakistani doctor guy. Take that, your royal baby. Your grandmother was a whore.
I know I'm making silly predictions with no basis. I think this is one of those that everybody's like, oh, it's going to get Oscars. It's going to get Oscars.
And then it doesn't.
And it gets nothing. I just think this is going to be one of those movies where I think she's going to be one of the snubs.
She might be. I don't see very much from this movie other than her as Diana possibly getting an Oscar, at least a nomination. And I don't know how much I buy into that. I just kind of feel like, well, that's sort of an iconic role. She's not a bad actress. You know, she's really quite good. You know, Daniel Day-Lewis getting nominated for Lincoln, that movie wasn't awesome, but you know, he did a hell of a job in a very iconic role. So, I mean, I could see where it would make sense for Naomi Watts to get nominated, and whether she will or not, entirely different story. I don't think we're going to see a lot of acting nominations with our wide release on November the 8th. It is Thor: The Dark World, directed by Alan Taylor, starring Chris Hemsworth, Natalie Portman, and Christopher Eccleston, amongst others. It's the Thor sequel. What else do you want to know?
It's not
looks
gonna
cool.
Not going to bring a lot of Oscar noms, but I'm thinking it pushes $250 million, which for a Thor movie is insane.
Yeah, I mean,
Marvel's
for a Thor
that
movie,
hot
but
right now.
That's the thing. It's a Marvel movie. Anything they do, they can open the doors and pretty much get $200 million. And this movie looks like it'll be pretty entertaining. It looks like it'll be a lot more action-packed than the first Thor was.
Yeah, it looks good.
Which that could use, that's for sure. Limited release that week. Best Man Down, directed by Ted Koland, starring Justin Long, Jess Wexler, and Tyler Labine. The Long-Wexler honeymoon gets cut short so that they can attend the funeral of Long's best man.
This trailer looks interesting. I can't remember if we watched it when we were still doing trailers.
I don't think we watched it. We watched another Wexler flick.
Yeah, that one.
Eisenberg.
But I watched it. Addison Timlin shows up, who I think is adorable, but one of the worst actresses out there, but she's got a major role. But Tyler Labine is one of the reasons we can move past Dan Fogler. Tyler Labine and Josh Gad, if you ever think you need Dan Fogler for a role, Hollywood, Tyler Labine or Josh Gad. Go one either direction is better than Dan Fogler.
It's giving you two options. So I hope you're listening.
Hollywood.
Free Birds 2. Expanding that week about time. On November the 15th, starting to get into that, it's the middle of November, but it's still...
Remember the 15th of November.
Where all of the holiday movies will start. The first one being The Best Man Holiday, directed by Malcolm D. Lee, starring Terrence Howard, Morris Chestnut, Sana Lathan. It is the sequel to Lee's 1999 joint, The Best Man. A group of friends get together again to almost F each other again, this time during a holiday vacation.
Finally, 14 years I've been waiting for a sequel to The Best Man, a movie that I have never seen. And I finally get it.
Me either. I had to look that information up because I didn't know what to say about this movie.
I remember the movie. I believe Taye Diggs was the star of it, I thought.
Yeah, I think he's in this one too. Yeah. But whatever.
Sequels are weird when they're that long after.
And about stuff that I don't care about. Very different from kind of the group romantic comedy light fare for The Best Man Holiday. Not so much for The Book Thief, directed by Brian Percival, starring Sophie Nalesi, Jeffrey Rush, Emily Watson. It is this tells you what kind of movie you're getting into. It's an adaptation of a World War II era novel that was narrated by Death about Jews living in Germany.
I've read half of the book. It's a really good book. I'm interested to see how it translates because it's got potential to be a sneaky one. Like, if they pull it off, this is going to be one of your Oscar sleepers. Like, if they can pull it off, this could be one of your darlings that people just latch onto and love. Because the story is, it's cool. It's a topic that Hollywood doesn't hesitate to throw Oscars at. And it's interesting. So if they can pull it off, there's potential here for something.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things that is going to affect you sitting through. So, I mean, if they do it well. And I guess more often than not, it seems like when they try and tackle a subject like this, it is done well. And the movies do tend to clean up. Kind of another one that we think has the potential to clean up is the newest effort from Martin Scorsese, the directing effort, You Can Look Past the Family, for The Wolf of Wall Street, starring Leo DiCaprio, Matthew McConaughey, and Jonah Hill. Marty and Leo take us through the rise and eventual fall of stockbroker Jordan Belfort. I guess it's in the 80s, based off an actual dude.
Based off the book, The Wolf of Wall Street. This is not, like, this and 12 Years a Slave, I think, are going to be pretty much your Lincoln and Silver
Argo?
Linings from last year.
Okay.
Where it was just like they're pretty much up for every award. They seem like easy predictions, but they're that strong. And McConaughey, I wouldn't be shocked if McConaughey's lead nominee for Dallas Buyers Club and supporting for this. But I have high hopes for this because it looks really good.
I'm going to have such a problem like watching the Academy Awards this year and seeing McConaughey in like the second row and just thinking about
sitting next to Jared Leto,
sitting next to anybody thinking, you know what I like about High School Girls? I keep getting older and they just stay the same. That's going to be such a weird visual, but I hope it happens because I do think over the last year and a half, he's done some really, really neat things and some things that I'm really excited about coming up. The Wolf of Wall Street, obviously one of those. Coming up on the 22nd is Delivery Man, directed by Ken Scott, starring Vince Vaughn, Chris Pratt, and Kobe Smulders. It is the Vince Vaughn Father and a Bunch of Children movie. After fathering about 533, to be exact, Vaughn clandestinely parents a group of them after they band together to form a class action lawsuit to try and find out his identity.
I like the original. Starbuck was good. I don't think it needs a remake, but if you're going to remake it, I've said it before.
Good casting for Vince
Vaughn. Is perfect for it. And it looks funny. The trailer's actually pretty good. So,
and I like Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
More Chris Pratt, please.
Yeah, so I'll see it.
I guess we'll probably both end up seeing the Hunger Games. The Catching Fire will come out on the 22nd as well. Directed by Francis Lawrence, starring Jennifer Lawrence, Josh Hutcherson, Liam Hemsworth. Katniss, still hungry.
I'm excited for it. Like, I think it's going to be really good. This has taken over that November spot that Twilight did last year. This one's going to make a lot of money. It's been established that this is a prime money-making spot. And it's going to top out. I think it's going to make at least $450.
How much did the last one do? Was it three? Did it hit four?
I think so, yeah.
All right. Well, then, yeah, I probably agree with you there. Limited release that week, Nebraska, directed by Alexander Payne, starring Bruce Dern, Will Forte, and June Squibb. Dern travels to Nebraska to collect his estranged son, played by Forte, and a sweepstakes prize. It looks like it's actually kind of a dramatic turn from Forte.
Yeah, no, and this is another sneaky one because Oscars love Alexander Payne for whatever reason. And you have Bruce Dern would be that good story of a guy who's kind of not been around for a while to pop up in like an Oscar-worthy performance.
Hey, welcome back.
Yeah, so I think this will be kind of a sleeper. Like, I think it'll get some love. It may not get the nominations, but I think it'll be in the discussion.
I'm really interested to see Will Forte do that dramatic thing. I mean, we've seen it from, Will Ferrell's done it. Adam Sandler's done it. There have been comedians that have been really, really funny dudes, which Forte is, hands down. Step out of the comfort zone and do some really good things. Jim Carrey's done it from time to time. So I want to see. I feel like he could do a really good job.
And it's a little easier when you're working with a great writer and a great director, and Payne is both of those things. So he's going to have the material and the guidance. And, I mean, he's a talented guy. I think Forte is going to be awesome. Like, I think he's going to do really well. I think it's going to be, like, career-changing kind of role for him. And
I hope so. I mean, I like his comedies. I don't think we're in any danger of him not making them anymore.
I hope he wins an Oscar so he can sell it and fund MacGruber 2.
Yeah. There is no MacGruber 2 on our, spoiler alert, on the rest of our fall winter preview. Starting on the 27th in wide release, another holiday movie, Black Nativity, directed by Kasai Lemons, starring Forest Whitaker, Angela Bassett, Jennifer Hudson, and Jacob Lattimore. It is the adaptation of the somewhat popular Langston Hughes musical. Lattimore leaves his mom to spend time with some estranged relatives in New York, which are played by Whitaker and Bassett. Apparently, Whitaker's rules cause the lad to grow as a person.
This, I don't think this movie was made for us.
No, I don't like musicals.
I don't either.
Fair enough. I would say part of this next movie is made for you. It is a Disney joint, Frozen, directed by Chris Buck and Jennifer Lee, starring Kristen Bell, Jonathan Groff, Josh Gad, and Idina Menzel. Apparently, Menzel's got some magical powers that have managed to freeze the entire kingdom. Only Groff and the lovely voiced Kristen Bell can melt the ice.
Disney's kind of on fire. You take away planes, if they can build off of what Wreck-It Ralph was and do a Pixar-quality movie without Pixar, and there was a short. It wasn't so much a teaser trailer for it. It was just a short that was fantastic. If they can take that short and make that movie have that same feel, this could be your Oscar winner for animated here.
The trailer, I guess it was a trailer, but it was more of a short, and it didn't really appear to have anything to do with what the plot looks like. I mean, it kind of looked like a scene out of Ice Age, really, but much better.
Yeah, yeah.
Also that week, Gary Fledler's Homefront, starring James Franco, Rochelle Lefevre, and Jason Statham. This one written by Sylvester Stallone, a former DEA agent, moves his family to a small town for being harassed by a meth lord named Gator. I'm only assuming that Gator is the name of the meth lord. Gator is James Franco, so I'm just assigning my best guess to Jason Statham's probably the DEA agent.
Yeah, Jason Statham is. It's also got Winona Ryder, Kate Bosworth, Clancy Brown, who is the voice of, he's a voice on the new Turtles. But it'll be interesting.
The check's in the mail.
It's based on a Chuck Logan novel that is pretty, it's interesting, just the synopsis of it. I haven't read it, but I've read a lot about it. And the cast is interesting. I like Franco as a meth head.
And I'm interested to see what kind of a script Sly can crank out. I mean, I guess he did it pretty well once before, stealing somebody else's story. So, well, maybe he'll hit another home run here. A home run for Dave would be the new Spike Lee joint. Speaking of stealing from another person's work, his remake of Old Boy, starring Josh Brolin, Elizabeth Olsen, Samuel L. Jackson, Charlton Copley. After being imprisoned for 20 years, Brolin is out to find out why and who locked him up and probably kill them in a very violent fashion.
I know we're split on this. I'm excited to see it. I think it'll be good. I think it'll be cool. I think it'll be cool to see, but I'm not super anti-remake. I love the cast. I'm excited to see what Spike Lee does with it, because if he does it just straight up, I'm excited for it. If he makes it a Spike Lee joint, not as interested, but I love the cast. I love Copley as a bad guy. Brolin, I love Elizabeth Olsen. Like, I think it has potential to be really good.
Copley's bad guy was really pretty good in Elysium, way over the top. I don't think he'll be quite that way here. If he doesn't make it a Spike Lee joint, what's the point in remaking it? You know, if you're gonna do it, you know, you kind of I've seen Old Boy. It's an awesome movie. It's not so old that it needs to be updated. You kind of have to give it a different spin. Otherwise, I'm just going to see Old Boy again and like it. So I think he's going to, I hope he Spike Lees it up just for the sake of, I mean, at least it'll have a reason to exist.
I look at it as Let Me In. Like, yeah. Let Me In was completely unnecessary.
Yeah.
But that was a good movie. Like, it was really good. The performances were good. The cast was good. It was well directed. I see the same being on this. I don't expect much more. Like, I don't expect to, I'm not going to watch it and think, like, oh, they shouldn't have made this. But I'm not going to watch it and think, like, oh, I never need to watch the original again. I think it'll be really good But I mean, unnecessary, but that's fine. A lot of things in life are unnecessary.
I never saw Let Me In because I saw Let the Right One In, and I knew there wasn't anything different. So there was no reason for me to sit through, you know, an hour and a half of the same but a little bit different. So I, unless this is way different, I got no shot in seeing it. That this one, maybe we have a difference of opinion about. Limited release that week, Mandela, Long Walk to Freedom, directed by Justin Chadwick, starring Idris Elba as Nelson Mandela, Naomi Harris, and Terry Felto. It's kind of a big year for Mandela. We've got Idris Elba playing him in this one. Terrence Howard takes his crack in the Jennifer Hudson movie about Winnie Mandela, which I think comes out in September, but I was unable to actually find a date, so I didn't put it in the September section. But I think both of those actors are really, really good playing you know, a guy that has been in the news a lot for kind of failing health. I don't want to, you know, kind of sound morbid, but, you know, if he were to, you know, take a turn for the worse by the end of the year when this comes out, I mean, you could see...
It works in Elba's favor.
I think it does. I mean, it is a morbid thought.
Does Jamie Foxx win the Oscar if Ray Charles doesn't die a few months before? Like, it's morbid thought, but it's a
There's a reason
thought.
That I have
yeah.
that thought, yeah. And I mean, I think both Terrence Howard and Elba are both really good.
I think Elba's one of the best actors out there right now.
And this will be where American audiences really get to see it on the silver screen on a big yeah. scale. So I'm kind of excited about that one. December 6th, all the way, almost completely through our fall-winter preview. Almost. We've got the first week of December, Out of the Furnace, directed by Scott Cooper, starring Christian Bale, Casey Affleck, and Zoe Saldana. After the disappearance of his brother, Bale heads deep into the backwoods, criminal element that appears to have claimed Affleck.
On the surface, it's just a revenge flick, but with Affleck and Bale... I don't think it's just that. The trailer is pretty intense.
The trailer, that's what I wanted to bring up. I don't like talking about trailers, but I remember when we looked at this one, you know, just from the way it was shot, you didn't have to tell me, you know, that it took place in the Rust Belt because I could see that in the trailer. It does an awesome job of really setting the scene. It sets the tone. It reminds me a bit of Deer Hunter. Just in, you watch that movie, you absolutely, you know the people. You know... the city, all of that comes across, and when you can do that in a minute and a half of a trailer, I think that, you know, given the longer form of a movie, you'll probably be able to do it as well.
I think it looks good.
Looks good. I don't think the next movie looks good, and that's rare for me to say about a Coen Brothers movie. It'll be out in limited release. It's Inside Llewellyn Davis, starring Oscar Isaac, Carey Mulligan, John Goodman,
and Justin Timberlake with a beard.
It follows Llewellyn Davis through a week of the Greenwich folk scene in 1961.
It just doesn't look good to me. But I'm not a Coen fanboy, so I'm not like 100% on board with everything the Coen brothers do. It just doesn't look interesting to me.
No, I could really care less. I'm not really much into musical movies. Maybe this one, if we revisit our movies about bands or musicians, maybe it'll make the list. But I really couldn't be any less interested in that movie, which, again, for me in a Coen Brothers movie is kind of rare. I am kind of pumped about the Last Days on Mars, though. I like me a sci-fi flick. I don't care. This one's directed by Ruane Robinson, starring Liev Schreiber, Ramonte Grodi, and Elias Castillas.
Casey Jones.
Yeah, what did I say?
From the original Turtles.
I like both of those guys, and the director had said one of the things that he wanted to do was take people that don't normally show up in sci-fi movies and put them in a sci-fi movie so that people will kind of take it seriously. And I thought that was kind of a novel approach to the genre, and it appears that the Last Days for Schreiber and crew, as their experiments on some Martian specimens go a bit sideways, so...
See, I know nothing about this movie, but I love Schreiber and I love Elias Koteas. Like, those two are really good actors that don't really get the acclaim they should.
And they're not going to get it for this movie.
No, but I like them enough that I'll see it.
A movie that was kind of on my most anticipated last year, probably this year as well. It's the second of the Hobbit films. The Desolation of Smaug will be out on the 13th of December. Remember the 13th of December? The Hobbit Treason and Plot, directed by Peter Jackson, starring Martin Freeman, Ian McKellen, Richard Armitage. Hey, good to see the dragon in this one, and that long-haired guy from the Pirates movies will be back as well.
And Benedict Cumberbatch.
Owe him too?
Yeah. This movie looks like what people wanted The Hobbit to be. It looks really good.
I agree.
Hobbit kind of got... people weren't as nuts about it as they wanted to be.
Like, what, $300 million?
It still made its money. Yeah, but I think this will erase that thought from people's minds. I think this will get all those people that didn't like The Hobbit back into the theater and erase that from their mind.
This will get the people that were fans of Lord of the Rings and had never read any of this stuff back to the theater. So I am legitimately excited about this one. I liked The Hobbit, but I know I'm going to like this a lot more. I guess maybe for a different audience, not the sci-fi audience, would be Tyler Perry's A Medea Christmas. Directed by Tyler Perry, starring Tyler Perry, Chad Michael Murray, and Takiya Sumpter. Ooh, girl, Medea heads for the country for a surprise visit. There's a bunch of white people in this movie, so I guess it's kind of like maybe a culture shock thing where Medea goes to town? I don't know.
I just hope at the end Chad Michael Murray doesn't go to taser and accidentally pull out his gun and shoot her.
That happens, you think?
That's a Fruitvale Station. He's the cop that shoots the dude.
Spoiler alert on Fruitvale Station.
Yeah.
Limited release that week. David O. Russell's American Hustle, starring Jennifer Lawrence, Christian Bale, Amy Adams, Bradley Cooper, Bobby De Niro, and Jeremy Renner. Longtime listeners of this podcast may remember this as American Bullshit. Bale and Adams are cons that help out rogue FBI agent Bradley Cooper to take down organized crime in New Jersey.
This is another one of those. I mean, you talk about 12 Years a Slave, Wolf of Wall Street, and this. I think these are all three in the conversation for every nomination this year. I mean, that's three, and there's one that we'll talk about in a couple minutes that I think is going to be also, like, I think those are going to be your four heavy hitters that are going to get a ton of nominations combined.
This is the cast in all of those. Tremendous. And the movie actually sounds pretty cool, too. Also that week, Saving Mr. Banks, directed by John Lee Hancock, starring Tom Hanks, Emma Thompson, and Colin Farrell. Tom Hanks plays Walt Disney, who else, in his quest to acquire the rights to make Mary Poppins from author P.L. Travers.
I think it'll be good. I think it'll be one of those. Again, this one just feels like one that people expect it to get all this Oscar love.
I don't think it will.
I don't think it will. It looks okay, though. It looks entertaining enough.
I think that kind of lukewarm response is about deserved. December the 20th, Ron Burgundy returns in Anchorman. The Legend Continues, directed by Adam McKay, starring, of course, Will Ferrell, Paul Rudd, Steve Carell, David Koechner. Burgundy's back to take on the 24-hour news cycle.
It'll be what it'll be, and you know what it'll be.
It'll be a sequel to Anchorman, just as funny as the first, or not, if you didn't like it. I suspect the movie you were talking about a couple minutes ago about good casts that might get some Oscar love, maybe this one, The Monuments Men, directed by George Clooney, starring George Clooney, Matt Damon, Bill Murray, and John Goodman. Clooney and crew attempt to hide valuable art from the Nazis during WWII.
It's another one of those that has a lot working for it. Clooney, if he directs something, it's a lot of times nominated. He's nominated almost any time he shows up. It's got World War II, which the Oscar people love for some reason. Matt Damon, John Goodman, Bill Murray. This is, I think it's sneaky right now because we've seen the least from it. Like, we don't even have a trailer for it. It hasn't really been.
I think there's a trailer.
Is there?
I feel like there is because I think I've seen it.
Okay. Well, it doesn't seem to have the buzz that Wolf of Wall Street and 12 Years a Slave and the third one, American Hustle,
Bullshit,
have. So, but I think it's right up there. I mean, I think that's four nominations for Best Picture. I would almost guarantee it.
Fair enough. Maybe we'll get into that a little bit in a couple weeks.
We do our
fantasy film ball draft. I'm sure that'll play into some decisions. I don't think either of us are going to have, at least if you and I are playing, I don't think either of us are going to have our next movie. But if your daughter was playing, this would be like her first pick, Walking with Dinosaurs in 3D, directed by Barry Cook and Neil Nightingale, starring Charlie Rowe and some CG dinosaurs.
Yeah.
It's exactly what it sounds like. It's just it's like one of those Planet Earth movies, except it's just dinosaurs, which, I mean, visually could probably be okay, but
I like dinosaurs, but
not that much.
Yeah. There's no Ariana Richards screaming. I don't really care.
Limited release that week. Foxcatcher, directed by Bennett Miller, starring Channing Tatum, Mark Ruffalo, and Steve Carell. Straight out of Dateline. Steve Carell plays John DuPont, who funds an Olympic wrestling training program only to murder friend and Olympic champion David Schultz, played by Mark Ruffalo.
This is one of those that it's another sneaky one. I know I'm talking Oscars a lot, but this is Oscar season. Bennett Miller gets Oscar love. I think Oscar voters love when somebody like Steve Carell can take a turn into something like that. Like, Steve Carell, Oscar nominee, is a great story.
Yeah.
And they really latch on to stuff like that. So I think this is a sneaky one that actually is probably going to sneak in for a couple nominations at least.
Yeah, he probably won't get nominated for Brick and Anchorman, but perhaps in this film. Also a limited release that week, Spike Jonze's new flick, Her, starring Joaquin Phoenix, Amy Adams, and Scarlett Johansson. A single writer loves his new operating system, voiced by Johansson.
I'm excited for it.
It looks really cool.
I think it's going to be cool. And another one that could just sneak up on people. And it's a cool concept. The cast is great. Joaquin Phoenix, people love, Oscar voters especially. Like, it could be sneaky, but even if it doesn't get Oscar attention, I think it's going to be great.
It feels like the concept could be done very poorly. It could come across like a bad episode of The Big Bang Theory, because I think they did one where one of the guys
was in love with Siri. But
you put Spike
Jonze's name on it?
That's what I mean. Spike Jonze, say what you want about Joaquin Phoenix. He's a nut, but he's a really good actor. And I think that Amy Adams and Scarlett Johansson are both really good, too. She's just playing the voice, but I still think it'll be a really cool movie. Expanding that week inside Llewellyn Davis and Saving Mr. Banks. On Christmas Day, you can unwrap 47 Ronin, directed by Carl Rensich, starring Keanu Reeves, Hiroyuki Sandana, and Ko Shirabasaki. Keanu and presumably 46 other Ronin look to avenge the death of their master at the hands of a shogun that will not be played by Julius Carey.
Looks ridiculous and terrible.
Which are two things I associate with Keanu Reeves.
It's also been delayed about 18 months, which is never a good sign.
Push it back another 6, and I would be fine with it. Another one that they could push back another 16 months and I'd be okay with is Grudge Match, directed by Peter Siegel, starring Bob De Niro, Sylvester Stallone, and Kim Basinger. 50 years after their last fight, two boxing rivals lace up the gloves for one last fight against each other.
The concept could be all right if it's done well. I just don't have a feeling it'll be done well.
You can't not see Jake LaMotta and Rocky Balboa in this. And I know that.
Oh, that's the whole point of it.
Yeah, that's the whole point of it. But God, I don't want to see them fight each other. I would rather see a younger version of those two fight, like maybe a prequel or like a reboot of the Rocky franchise. But we are going to get a reboot of the Jack Ryan franchise, Shadow One, directed by Kenneth Branagh. Starring Chris Pine, Kevin Costner, and Keira Knightley, Pine's Ryan, early in his CIA career, uncovers a Russian plot to ruin the U.S. economy. Those damn Russians.
This could go one way or the other. With Branagh involved, I think it'll go the better way. I think he's a really good director. This is different for him. This is a different direction of what he usually does. And I like Pine as Jack Ryan. I like that, and I like this.
I think he could be an action star.
I like this new Costner, this resurgence of Costner. So I think it'll be good.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen most of the better than Affleck's Jack Ryan.
Yeah, I mean, Jack Reacher did okay last Christmas, made some okay money. I think this is going to find that audience and probably actually deliver a little bit more.
Yeah. If you're not into a shoot 'em up, you can check out The Secret Life of Walter Mitty, that day directed by Ben Stiller, starring Stiller, Kristen Wiig, and Adam Scott. Walter Mitty's fantasy adventures mirror his real life when his globe-trotting exploits are needed to save his job and that of a lovely coworker.
This will be a Best Picture nom. Ben Stiller will get a Best Director nod for this. The trailer for it, I'm not a Ben Stiller fan, really.
Neither am I,
but
I really
trailer,
want to see it.
Looks amazing. This is such a good book, and it's been trying to be made for so long. Owen Wilson was attached for a long time. Ben Stiller, I can actually see in the role, and it looks like he's challenging himself as a director, and it looks, just based on the trailer, looks really good.
Limited release that week. August, Osage County, directed by John Wells. Another ensemble cast, big time. Meryl Streep, Julia Roberts, Ewan McGregor.
And Benedict Cumberbatch.
I think Juliette Lewis. There's just a ton of people in it. Family drama in the Weston clan. It's kind of a dramedy, I guess you might say.
Yeah, the trailer, it looks okay.
Supposedly lots of love for Meryl Streep in this one, but that's not really news, so to speak. A couple more coming down the home stretch here. One of our last ones is Lone Survivor, directed by Peter Berg, starring Mark Wahlberg, Ben Foster, Eric Bana, based on the real SEAL mission to take out Taliban leader Ahmad Saeed from the perspective of the only SEAL to survive the mission, which will be played by Wahlberg.
This is one of those, they're taking the Zero Dark 30 approach. This, on the surface, seems like just an action movie, but they're releasing it for that 1 week to get Oscar consideration because they think it has a chance. I think it'll be good. Wahlberg, Foster, Bana. I realize Taylor Kitsch is in there also. But
yeah, I left him off.
He was competent in Savages, so I'm wondering how well he'll do, but the trailer looks really good until you get to Peter Gabriel covering the best Bowie song ever. Kind of turns you off, and I hope it doesn't get any Oscar nominations just for that fact alone, but it actually looks pretty decent.
I think it's going to be really good, and I think that, again, you know, Peter Berg, I think, is a pretty decent director.
He can be.
Yeah, and I think they're working with a story that is going to resonate with people, and I do think it's going to be impactful. I like Wahlberg. Obviously, I think Eric Bana is really good. I think Ben Foster is good. I think Taylor Kitsch will be fine.
It's going to be hard not to be with
right.
that group.
He's by no means carrying the movie either, so I think it'll be okay.
I think it'll be good, but I don't think it's going to get the Oscar love that they want.
I could see like adapted screenplay or something.
Something, but I don't think it's going to be like one of the heavy hitters. I think this year's packed.
Yeah, I think that there are maybe about four or five movies that are going to be kind of nominated for a bunch of things. So it's going to take a lot for a movie like this to get a nomination just to crack that field. We got one last movie. It's kind of appropriate that we are recording the day after Labor Day. It is Jason Reitman's Labor Day, starring Kate Winslet, Josh Brolin, Tobey Maguire, and Vanderbeek. Winslet offers a ride to a hurt stranger while Officer Maguire hunts down an escaped convict. I wonder if those events are related.
Jason Reitman he's really good. So I don't care what the plot is. I don't care who the cast is. I'll see a Jason Reitman movie.
Me too. You put Vanderbeek in there and I'm on board. I'm just happy that this year I don't have to sit through something like Backwards.
I think it'll be good. And I wouldn't be surprised if it sneaks in for a couple Oscar nominations. But I like Reitman. Like, his career is going pretty well,
I would say. Expanding that week is American Hustle, so that'll be a little bit easier. You won't have to hustle so much to see that. And that takes us through the end of the year. I kind of feel like we breeze through them, except for the ones that we kind of, you know, were probably excited about. We may have stopped and given a little more. Are there any you think that we may have given, like, short shrift to that you're excited about, but we just kind of skipped over?
Not really, because I kind of gushed about the ones that I kind of wanted to. I mean, I don't think I touched on how interesting I think Foxcatcher will be. I know I talked that it could get some love in there, but I think it'll be good. I think it'll be interesting to see Carell in that role, to see Channing Tatum and Mark Ruffalo. Like, that's a cast of three dudes doing something different under a director who is good at getting people out of their comfort zones. Jonah Hill and Moneyball, for example. So I think it'll be really good, and Bennett Miller is good at working with comedic people doing drama. So I think that one will be really interesting.
The thing that for me that jumps out is I started looking at October. That's where I think, you know, horror movies generally tend to end up. And I think the ones, like the horror movies that I'm most excited about are the comedies. I mean, I think Bad Milo at the beginning of October is going to be really funny. I definitely want to see Hell Baby. That comes out in September. I mean, like, as far as like your traditional.
You don't. I just. Carrie, as you were talking about that.
That's about it.
Yeah. October kicks off award season. It's not horror. There's not your cell phone movie about killer cell phones or anything. Mm-hmm. There's not that dumb horror movie that they tend to release. It's the first Halloween in a while with no Saw or Paranormal Activity. So it'll be interesting. I mean, it's almost like January is now the time to release horror movies. And it's almost like they're forgetting October. But
there is a dearth of them.
Yeah, there isn't. It Carrie is like your only big release horror movie.
Which is going to be awesome for Carrie.
Yeah. I mean, other than that, it's pretty much Oscar movies in October. Like, they're getting a jump. They're not...
12 Years a Slave, you know, Kill Your Darlings.
Something like The Counselor, even. Not really an Oscar movie, but that's like a heavy hitter with cast-wise and stuff. Yeah. So, I don't
Captain
know what...
Captain Phillips. I mean, it seems like a very, very weird October.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess that's kind of just the thing that jumped out about me. If you guys have any thoughts about either the schedule or movies you're excited to see, we'd love to hear about them. moviesonup@gmail.com. You know, let us know your thoughts. We do read your emails when they come in, and Dave does an awesome job of responding to them often while we are recording.
Sometimes. While we're talking, we are going to do Fantasy Film Ball again. We've picked up quite a few listeners from last year, so we want you to play along. Box Office Bash is wrapped up. We will, in 2 weeks... be doing we'll do our fantasy film ball draft, so you'll kind of hear what we feel about it, and then any listener picks will be due by the last day of September. So we'll go over the rules in a couple of weeks, but it's pretty much you pick 5 movies between that release between October and December, and
pretty much any movie we talked about in this episode. I would stay away from the ones from September. We're going to rule those out. But, yeah, we've pretty much given you everything from November on.
Yeah.
So listen back to this episode.
You get a point for every $10 million made domestically. We're changing it up. Last year it was weighed very heavily towards awards. This year it's going to be 2 points for every nomination, Golden Globe and Oscar, and then 3 points for every win. So that'll be something where that'll make it to where Hunger Games, which is going to make a lot of money, can still compete with something that gets a lot of Oscars but doesn't make the money. So, and we're going to go box office through the end of January this year.
So that'll help for the ones that like Zero Dark that last year.
Yeah, last year we stopped it 12/31. Yeah. So the rules will be a little different. We'll go over more in depth. 2 weeks, that'll be our Fantasy Film Ball draft. We'll lay out all the rules and we'll announce our Box Office Bash winner. So tune in for that. That'll be fun.
Somebody's getting pitch black.
Yeah, we would do it next week, but next week we actually have two really... I'm excited for next week. I think both our shows next week are kind of fun. We're doing... early in the week, we're going to compare The Wrath of Khan to Star Trek Into Darkness.
No particular reason.
Which will be interesting. It'll be fun, because I've never seen Khan, but I loved Into Darkness. And next Friday is Friday, September...
The
13th. So we are going to go over our favorite Friday the 13th movies.
Which seems like it makes sense. So stop back next week, or if you want to get out ahead of it, let us know your favorite Friday the 13th film.
Give us your top 5.
There are enough. Yeah. Dave and I are each going to give 5. We'll probably have some crossover, so it should be a fun.
If you like Friday the 13th, chip in for next week, because we're going to be talking about it a lot. So
yeah, we could definitely use your thoughts. There's only so much that we can say about these movies, so we definitely would love to hear from you. And until next week,
keep it up.